Question 111. For which good work do you stone me? John 10:32. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? As you read through the New Testament, you may run upon ideas or passages that stand out from the rest as axiomatic or key. Such a pivotal truth will be found in all other stories. As you continue to search, it becomes foundational. Such is the suffering of Christ. His passion was foretold as early as Genesis 3:15, and with few exceptions can be found in every scripture dealing with sacrifice, atonement, and redemption. It becomes apparent that Christ's sacrifice was an irreplaceable and necessary event, without which none of the plan of redemption is valid or viable. With just a little reading, you'll find another pivotal truth pertaining to our triumph in this world and beyond. There are those, while searching for this abundant life, seek power from God to surmount wickedness. There are some who feel that blessings of worldly goods will bring about every victory, and there are those who feel that to be educationally or doctrinally capable will provide the elusive answers to life. While all of these things have merit within themselves, we must admit, sadly, they're not within our control. If a sharp mind is necessary to be spiritually victorious, I fear for myself. For I have great difficulty remembering scripture references. I don't consider myself educationally equipped to ward off testing and temptation by quoting scripture. Some people have great gaps in theology and doctrine, yet seem to get along just fine in meeting every trial with faith, endurance, and humility. The power of God certainly is not within our ability to use at will, as is the case with his blessings of health, wealth, and prosperity. These things he chooses to bestow or withhold. We need to know what we can do to affect our state while living here, and what is totally within our power to do. Jesus went through the land doing good, but more importantly, he did no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 shows us, For he, Jesus, knew no sin. Some say that Jesus was compelled to go through life sinless in order to effect our salvation, but was fully capable of sin. Some say that it was impossible for him to sin because he was the Son of God. Though one has to wonder why Satan would bother to subject him to temptation if it was impossible for him to succumb, it is entirely likely that he did not labor through the temptation at all, just barely emerging victoriously, but happily preferred his Father's will and favor over any offering of Satan. Yes, Jesus had a conscience toward God. He had another mission in life, to suffer wrongfully. For this is thankworthy, if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. In this scripture, we find that pivotal principle of endurance and triumph. In this remark by Peter, we find that we all will suffer. We all may be given up, turned in, persecuted, and treated shamefully. And if the will of God be so, there is nothing that can be done about it. There is only one thing we can do to make it count on our behalf. We can be sure that when we do suffer, it is for no good reason. If we're brought before the council and harassed for violations we did not commit, actions we did not take, words we did not say, rules we did not break, we're likely suffering as Christians. But if you did violate the rules, if you did lash out in revenge, if you did take violent actions against your enemy, you're suffering for your own wrongdoing. Don't deceive yourself by believing you're suffering as a Christian. You may indeed be suffering because you're a Christian, but the power of your testimony is lost because you are guilty of the charges brought against you. What a waste! This is why we are to avoid sin and deceit. This is why we are to be harmless as doves. For it's written, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It is believed that this epistle was written as Peter received the news of Paul's torture and subsequent death. Peter is giving us the secret to a happy and blessed life. On any scale, whether verbal persecution by a close friend or relative, or being burned at the stake as Polycarp was, we are to be blameless in our lives and never deserve any malice or ill treatment. We're not to seek vengeance, retaliation, retribution, or reward. We're not to break any laws that can be obeyed in a good conscience toward God. We're not to speak evil against our enemies, leaders, or propagate stories that do so. We are to be blameless, with no deceit in anything we say, so that when we suffer, and we will be blameless. Pay your bills. Obey the laws. Do what you are asked. Comply. Subject yourself. Humble yourself. Pay your taxes. Let yourself be defrauded. Do not retaliate when lied to, stolen from, cheated. Do no ill to your neighbor. Let nothing be done through strife or vanity, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than themselves. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Avoid legal wrangling, lawsuits, and arbitration. If someone must lose in a deal, let it be the one whose Father is Jehovah. Forgive, forget, forgo. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Christ asked, "For which good work do ye stone me?" There's only one reason why this question of Jesus had power. Because the basis of his goodness was based in truth. Living above reproach every day is the only way to have such power in temptation and comfort in tribulation. The apostles found this power in their own martyrs' deaths. Job found it his source of power in his temptation. You'll find it too. This power is yours only if your life is truly above reproach. Only if you indeed suffer wrongfully. Think of the power. Think of the convicting spirit in the words said to accusers and persecutors when you can look your oppressor in the eye and ask, as Jesus did, "For which good work do you stone me?"